Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles or your phones, I want you to get those ready. Praise God. If you would stand for the reading of the word this evening. If some of you like to stick your fingers in there and make sure you get to all the scriptures, we're going to go to Ephesians. We're also going to be in Titus, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and Philippians, Thessalonians. We're going to go all over the place, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go all over the place tonight. I'll try to give you time to get to those areas when we get there. Praise God. Luke 16. Luke 16 and beginning at verse 22. Luke 16 beginning at verse 22. Tonight my title or what we're going to talk about is where are we going? Where are we going? I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, do you want to go to heaven? If they don't answer, you elbow them one more time. Amen. Amen. Luke 16 and verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Very familiar verse of scripture for those of you who've been around the church very long at all. But it says this, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and saith unto Abraham, seeth Abraham, I'm sorry, afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Why? Overwhelming verse of scripture here in verse 28. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Amen. I know that's kind of heavy for a Wednesday night, but I want to talk about where we're going. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this word tonight. I'm thankful for every brother and sister, every young person, the young people that are with us tonight because of camp. Lord, I'm so thankful for your powerful and adulterated word. And I ask, Lord, right now that you would touch every single individual. Lord, allow your word, allow your power, allow your spirit, Lord, to move in this place tonight and touch our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for your excellent greatness. And Lord, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, Lord, that your eye is on the sparrow and you're watching over each and every one of us. Lord, you want to see us succeed, oh Lord, in making our forever abode heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The temporary abode, the temporary abode for souls of the dead is Sheol in the Hebrew, or Hades in the Greek. When Christ rose from the dead, he conquered Hades and death. And as part of his victory, he also led the righteous souls out of Hades. Are we thankful for that tonight? Amen. If you could turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascends, what is it but that he also descend first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descends is the same also that ascends up far above all heavens, that he might feel all things." Praise God. As children of God, as Christians, and I say that tongue in cheek because I know that the world uses that term very, very cliche, if you will. Everybody's a Christian. Amen. You can drink a 36-pack, beat your wife, beat your children, and smoke a bunch of weed during the weekend, and do whatever you want to do, and you can still be a Christian sometimes. That is not true if you read the Word of God. Somebody say amen and clap your hands if you agree with me. Not because I said so, but if you're a student of the Word, then you know that those things are contrary to God. Amen? And sin is sin is sin. It doesn't matter if you've murdered someone. It doesn't matter if you've committed adultery. It doesn't matter if you've lied or cheated. Sin is sin is sin. Amen? Amen. Sin is sin. So, but when a Christian dies, his soul rests in the Lord's presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, I want to know in the name of Jesus, if the Lord allows me to live a long time, then great. But if I was to die tomorrow, I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I'm absent from this body, I am present with the Lord. Amen. And the only way, according to God's word, that I can be sure of that is if I've made my calling and election sure. If I have made sure that I am filled with the presence and the power of God. Amen. If I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I didn't just accept Christ, but he filled me, and I know that he filled me according to God's word, the evidence of him filling me is me speaking in other tongues. The Spirit of God gives the utterance. That I've been baptized in Jesus' name according to the word of God, how the word of God instructs us to do that. And so if I'm living a holy life, a righteous life, beyond those things, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, it's not over there, newsflash. Amen? You didn't just check a box. I got baptized in Jesus' name. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. No, we got to live a righteous life. We got to live a holy life. We got to be pure. We got to be holy. The fruit of the Spirit has got to be evident inside of us. Amen? And so if I am living that way, then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, I can be assured when I pass from this life that I'm going to be present with the Lord. Amen? The next great event for the church is the catching away of the saints and the return of Jesus Christ. And I can't wait. I truly can't wait for that. Why am I talking about this tonight? Because I want us to understand we are going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Where are we going? Where are you going? I don't know where you're going. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord because I want to go to heaven. Praise God. I want to make sure that I'm living for him and I'm doing what he requires of me, not what a church requires of me, not what a religious organization requires of me, but what he requires of me. Amen? Said by someone that's preached in this pulpit many a times, Brother Drew Galloway, how do we expect to say that we know him if we haven't read about him, talked to him, and let his word speak to us? Amen? We need to allow the word to be a mandate every single day in our life. Amen? It's got to be a for sure thing that we do every single day. I got to hide the word in my heart. I know this is something you've heard me say thousands of times, but let me tell you how long it's been since I heard a man of God say this. I was in camp. Our students are in camp this week. I was maybe 16, I believe, maybe 17. I can't remember exactly. I do. It was actually the last year I went, 17 years old. And Brother Scott Graham was preaching, and he made that statement, Brother Trevor. He said, young people, let me tell you something. The Bible says this, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin. So if you're not hiding the word in your heart, you're for sure going to sin, because it's just a maybe so when you are in the book. Amen? Church, we got to be in the book. Daddies, we got to be in the book. I know it's not Father's Day yet, but daddies, we got to be in the book. If you can read a tape measure better than you can read the word of God, shame on you. It's not even Father's Day. I don't even need to be talking about that right now. Save that for Sunday. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Listen to this. Listen to this. What is that next word?
Zealous.
Say it loud. One, two, three.
Zealous.
One, two, three.
Zealous.
Zealous of the good works. Man, I got to get excited. I got to get zealous. I got to have some zeal inside of me. Praise God. Amen. Don't look at me like I got a pimple on my forehead. I don't, but I'm just, don't look at me like that. We have got to be zealous of the good works. We got to be, listen to what it says. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar. That means you're different and I'm different. We're not like everybody else. Students that are here tonight, you're not like everybody else that goes to college. You're not like everybody else that goes to high school. You're different. You've been bought with a price. You've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. You're different. It's okay. You're not like everybody else at work. You're different. Not because I said so, but because the Bible says you're a peculiar people. You're to be zealous of the good. You're supposed to be thinking about it, looking up, seeing when is he coming. I'm ready to go. I want to think about it today. I want to think about it tomorrow, the next day. I want to think about it during dinner, after dinner, before breakfast. I want to be thinking, and I want it to be on my mind daily. I love it. I absolutely love it. If you're a new convert here at Truth Church, I love it when I hear you getting excited about Jesus. And let me tell you something. Everybody else is dummies if they want you to calm down, okay? I don't want you to calm down. I want you to get excited about it. That was mean, but it's the truth. I want you to continue to get excited. I want you to continue to learn about God. I want you to continue to, Lord, that I may know you and the power of your might and the fellowship of your suffering. God, I'm ready for you to come back. I'm looking to the hills from which cometh my help. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to feel you. I want to know you. I want you to live inside of me, because I'm going somewhere. And it's not going to be to hell. It's going to be to heaven. That's my anticipation. That's what I'm wanting and desiring. Amen. At the catching away, at that rapture time, the dead in Christ will be resurrected. And the living saints will be transformed, both receiving immortal, glorified bodies. So the dead in Christ, they're going to go first. Amen. The dead in Christ, those that have lived for him, they were living, Sister Slater. They loved Jesus. They served Jesus. They did everything to follow after Jesus. And then they passed away. They're dead in Christ. Amen? Brother Riley, the Jeff Donahue's, they're going, the one dead in Christ. Lived for him. Talked in tongues at the red light on Morton Street or what, Crawford Street, whatever it was. That's somebody that's living for God. Doesn't care what you think. Doesn't care what I think. Doesn't care what's the cool thing to do. Because I promise you, everybody else thought that he's probably crazy. I thought the person was crazy until I realized who it was. If you've ever been to Cantina Lime, it was that red light right there. There's a car wash on one side, Cantina Lime's over there on the other side. He was right there at that red light. I was headed east. He was, west. He was headed east. And man, the presence of God was all over him. I mean, he moved his head like this. And today he's not with us, but I haven't done a lot of funerals as a pastor. I did helped out with some before I was a pastor, but I can tell you one of the easiest funerals I ever did was Jeff Donahue. Why? Because he's known by his fruits. He would talk in tongues when nobody else was talking in tongues. He was praying when nobody else was praying. It took you 10, 15 minutes to get in the Spirit. It took him a second to get in the Spirit because he's in the Spirit before he got here. He was planning on being in the house of God. And no, I'm not the final judge. I'm looking at a life, and then I look at the book. And it lines up really, really good. And he could have had us all fooled, but I don't think he did. Amen? And so the dead in Christ, they're going to rise first. And then those that have been living their life according to God's word, how God wants us to live, not how a religious organization wants you to live, but how God wants you to live. Ladies and gentlemen, I get sick and tired of this mess. Well, that's what Pentecostals want us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Let's settle the score right now. It's not about being Pentecostal. Amen? Listen to me. I'm going to get a little pointed here, but that's all right. I don't give a rip. Listen to me. You study the book yourself. Figure it out yourself. Find out for yourself. You dot every I. You cross every T for yourself. I'm doing it. Okay? I'm doing it. And I'm going to make sure I preach the I's dotted and the T's crossed. I'm going to make sure everything we do inside these four walls, we're dotting I's, we're crossing T's. Now listen to me. I didn't even plan on doing this, but here we go. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to make sure you do that. Because I can't. You know why? It's unbiblical for me to make sure you do that. The Bible says, Brother Trevor, for you, with fear and trembling. You know what that means? That means with reverence, with obedience. Oh, Lord, I'm getting away with it because they don't see me doing it. Does that sound contrary to God's word? Does that sound contrary to God's word? Class participation here. So if you can't be honorable, that's on you. And I'm not going to make you do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. In a moment, this is the reason why that you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the reason right here. This is the reason that you have to study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Somebody say we're going somewhere. We're going to be going somewhere. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That gets me excited. But go back to verse 52. In a moment. I don't know when that is. I don't have a blasted clue when that is. Nobody in this world knows when that is. There's people that think they do, but they're dumb because they think they do. Just period. That's period. There's people that think they got a, I got a pin on it. No, you don't. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. Nobody knows. Don't care how much you study. The scripture says nobody knows the day nor the hour. And so in a moment when nobody knows the day nor the hour, the trumpet's going to sound. I better be living how God wants me to live, how he instructs me to live in his book, or I'm not going there. And I want to go there. Does anybody want to go to heaven? Where are we going, ladies and gentlemen? Where are we going? Where are we going? I'm going there. I am determined to go there. I want to make sure that I go there. Amen?
Amen?
It's not about checking a box of rules. It's about living a holy and acceptable life. Without holiness,
no man's going to see.
What?
No man.
Say it loud, Brother Jonathan.
No man shall see the Lord.
Nobody, no man, no human being is going to see the Lord if we're not living a holy life. Listen, it's not talking about just your shirt length. Amen? It's talking about what you do on the inside. And what you do on the inside will reflect itself on the outside. If you're studying to show yourself approved, then you're going to know what to do. You're going to know how to live. And I've said this 1,000 times, it seems like. Don't take Darren Gilbert's word for it. Yeah. I'm a dummy. Truly. I'm not as smart as the next guy. But I sure am trying to make sure that I live by his word and not by my flesh.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. That's why I look and I study and I write down and I type out. Why? Because I don't want to be off of this. This. It's all right if I get off my iPad. I don't want to be off of this. I want to be on here. Don't think you're saved. Know you're saved. Don't think you have every I dotted and every T crossed. Make sure you have every I dotted and every T crossed. Well, Pastor, and I'm human. I'll mess up. I know. I know that. Me too. That's why. That I got to stay in the book. That's why I've got to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. That's why I've got to be a student. That's why I can't just pick it up on Sunday and Wednesday. Study. Amen?
Right.
I got to pick it up and study it. I got to read it. I got to listen to it. I've got to have it going over in my brain over and over again. Wives, listen to me. It's not the Stone Age. Don't do what your husband does only. You better work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Vice versa. Amen. Children, don't think for a moment. Young people, don't think for a moment that you're going to catch the tail of your dad's jacket going to heaven. That's not how it's going to work. When their babies ain't got a clue about anything, they can catch the tail of daddy's jacket. Suffer the little children to come unto me. But if you have a conscience and you know and you can read and you can study, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely amazes me how much that we can give ourselves to temporal things. Your work gives you a manual that thick, which it's not going to be that thick anymore. It'll be online now. And you will learn everything that you got to learn. Why? Because you know at the end of the month, there's a dollar sign concerning how much you know. And we will do it. That's not going to get you to heaven, but this will.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Where are we going? Where are we going?
Heaven.
All right, let me make it personal. Where are you going, sir?
Heaven.
We got to know where we're going. Praise God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, the sayings that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Somebody with a loud voice read for me. If you don't have it in your Bible, read it from the screen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Read aloud.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
21.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Oh, praise God. I can't wait till I'm changed. Brother Noe, I can't wait till I'm changed. Sister Delisa, I can't wait till I'm changed. I like it here. It's real nice. Amen? But I can't wait till I'm changed. I want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven?
Amen.
It's got to be the most important thing to us. Just listen to the verbiage. Listen to what it says. Who shall change our vile bodies? Can you get any more plain than that? This and everything about this is vile. Amen? I know you look good tonight. I know you dressed up nice. But this is a vile body, and he's going to change all that. Praise God. Why wouldn't we anticipate that? Do you know when we come to church and Sister Lisi and her team, they get ready and they practice on Monday nights and Brother Luke's here and Brother Gary's here and they're all singing. They're not doing that. They're not doing that to just sound good. That's not the only reason they're doing it. They're doing that to make preparation for you to get excited about losing your vile body and giving him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for doing that. These musicians don't just practice on their own time just to be practicing on their own time just to get good at their art and at their skill. No, they're doing it because why? They want to send a wonderful, beautiful scent to Jesus Christ in song and in playing their instrument, and also to make you get excited about ushering in the presence of the Lord so you can give him all the glory and all the honor that he's going to change your vile body. Amen. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord if you're excited about where we're going. Media team again, 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're going to begin at verse 13. I need somebody else to read. You can read again, Sister Christine, if you want to. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, and we're going to go all the way to 18.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Yes. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Praise God. Praise God. Brother Trevor, run over here to Sister Jolene and tell her about what's going to happen. Run over there real, real fast. Go ahead. Tell her about it. This is what, just look, this is what we got to do.
That's right.
Sister Jolene, go tell somebody about it. I know this is funny, ladies and gentlemen, but this is what we've got to do.
We're going to get caught up. We're going to go to glory. Hallelujah.
Praise God. get it. It's funny. It's comical. But listen, the Bible says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What words? 17, 16, 15. With those words. Hey, guess what? The dead in Christ are rising first, Truth Church. And we, which are alive and remain, that are living according to God's word, that we have come out from among them and we're separate and we're living a peculiar life. We're doing what God wants us to do and live how God wants us to live. That's what we got to get excited about. We're going to tell people about. We're going to forever be with Him. Always we're going to be able to worship and magnify. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you can't do that now, don't get excited about heaven, because we're going to have to do that every single moment. Praise God. Together we will meet the Lord in the air to live with Him eternally. Where are we going?
Heaven.
Where are we going?
Heaven.
Look, guys, ladies and gentlemen, whatever. Sorry. I went back to teenager there for a moment. I'm serious. Can I just be transparent, Darren, for a moment? Can I? I'm still excited about going to heaven. I am. Okay? I'm just talking about me. But I can look in this congregation at times, and it looks like sometimes in the middle of a powerful worship service that somebody shot your dog before you got to church, which is not the case. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. It boggles my mind. But this is what I've seen. And I'm going to get real, real, real. Okay? I've seen catastrophic things happen in some people's life that go to church here. And all of a sudden, man, they really need Jesus like they've never needed Jesus before. Can I just get real with you right now? Can I help you understand something? You've got to be excited about Jesus when your wife gets cancer. Don't clap right now. You've got to be excited about Jesus when your mom passes away unexpectedly. You've got to love Him and want to worship Him and be with Him in paradise. When bad things happen or when everything's going great. I'm not pinning any roses on me. Obviously, you're in this room. You know who I'm talking about. But it boggles my mind. This is the choir, if you will. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. It boggles my mind. Yes. That we can be like this, like we're going to Six Flags Over Texas to ride a roller coaster in our relationship with God and serving Him. Completely boggles my mind. I don't understand it. You know why? Because this is the reason why. For me, I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind a long time ago that I am going to go to heaven no matter what. And I'm going to be excited about going to heaven. Well, Pastor Darren, you're the pastor. Of course you're going to get excited. You want other people to get excited. You want people to come to church. You want them to call True Church their home. You want them to give. Obviously, yes, I do want that stuff too, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm just being transparent, Darren, here tonight, okay? Is that all right? It wouldn't matter. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't matter if every single section didn't show up on Sunday morning. I'm still going to heaven. I'm making up my mind I'm going to heaven, and that's what I'm trying to get across here tonight. Where are you going? Are you going to heaven? Or is the next bad thing going to cause you to not want to worship Him, not want to get excited, or get mad at me even? I'm sure there's people in this room that have gotten mad at me before. I love you no matter what, because I'm going to heaven. I really am.
I've seen it. I've seen it when Bishop Gilbert was our pastor many, many years ago. I've seen people angry and pointing their finger in his face and screaming at him, walking down the hallway. I've seen those things. I've seen people on the front porch of my house letting Pastor Gilbert know when I was a kid what they thought about it. But I made up my mind. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what happens. I don't care what. This is just a place that I'm at. I'm just here. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here just for a short time because my forever home is going to be with him. And so I ask you again, where are you going? Are you worried about tomorrow? Are you worried about your kids only? Are you worried about heaven? What we need to be worried about is heaven. What we need to be thinking about is heaven. What we need to be thinking about is he looking at changing my vile body? Because if he's not wanting to change my vile body, then man, I better do whatever I can to convince him. Lord, me, I want you to make sure that you change this vile body because I want to be with you forever in heaven. After these events transpire, an unparalleled time of great tribulation will come upon the world. Matthew 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, and which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not want to go through any type of tribulation. Amen? I want to go to heaven. I said, I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure when he calls his church away, I'm going. I want to make sure that I have prayed and sought the face of God and listened to his still small voice and made sure that heaven is going to be my home. Somebody say amen. The adversary, the devil, Satan, somebody say Satan. The sly old fox will seek to dominate the earth through a man and a system described as the beast, sometimes called the Antichrist. Revelation 13 tells of the power and signs of the beast. The beast and his false prophets will establish a religious, political, and economic system to control the world. These satanic maneuvers will bring war and famine and death. And eventually the beast will claim to be God and distract and will try to come against and will try to destroy. But ladies and gentlemen, where are you going? Ladies and gentlemen, where are you going?
Heaven.
Where are you going?
Heaven.
You've got to know right now where you're going. You can't wait till all hell breaks loose in life to know where you're going. You can't wait to say, I'm going to serve God when all hell breaks loose. No, I got to be serving God now. I want to ask you again, it's something that you have to know. Where are you going, sir? Men, would you stand to your feet here tonight? I need to know where you're going, men. Men, where are you going? Are you doing whatever you're supposed to do according to God's word to make sure that you go to heaven? Where are you going?
Heaven.
Men, where are you going?
Heaven.
Maybe seated. Ladies, would you stand to your feet? I had no intention to ask you to do this, but ladies, where are you going?
Heaven.
Where are you going?
Heaven.
Is there anything or anybody or any stuff or any temporal mess going to keep you from going to heaven?
No.
Nothing. There's nothing going to keep you from going to heaven. Let's make up our minds. Somebody say, I'm going to heaven.
I'm going to heaven.
I'm going to heaven. You may be seated. Those who oppose this evil system and turn to God will be persecuted and martyred. Some will have horrible persecution. In the middle of the tribulation, God will pour out his judgment. He will pour out his judgment upon the unrepented. The degenerate mankind. Various plagues are going to come. Church, I don't even want to be a part of that. Amen? Because the likelihood of you making through all of that is going to be very slim. Let's just get real. The likelihood of going through all the tribulation is going to be very slim. How do you know that, Pastor Darren? Well, the fact that you're still there kind of makes me think that you have a hard time saying no to your flesh. Amen? Does anybody see where I'm going here? We got to know before we have to know.
That's right.
Where are we going?
Heaven.
We have to know we're going to heaven before we have to know. Because in that moment, are these little dumb things really going to matter? The things that are keeping you from living a separated, holy life. It's keeping you from being a peculiar child of God. Are those things really going to matter? They're not, are they? No, so what I like to say is this. I want to err on the side of caution. I want to make sure. The line is going to be drawn in the sand. And I want to make sure that I am going towards him as much as possible. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because those who oppose the evil system, you're going to be persecuted, martyred. And it's going to be bad news. Sister Jo, I want to have confidence that those that have finally said, man, I'm going to live for you, God. I know I did wrong, and I'm going to start living for you. I want to have confidence that they're going to make it. But I just don't know. Because there's going to be persecution that you've never even imagined. Amen? So I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to be a part of that. I don't want to be in the middle of that tribulation. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Praise God. In the middle of the tribulation, God will pour out his judgment upon unrepentant, degenerate mankind. Amen. There's going to be various plagues. Many, including myself, believe that the church will be caught away before the tribulation. There's a lot of people don't believe that. But the reason that I believe the church is going to be caught away is because I just don't think that we can make it through all that stuff. And I don't think for all of us that have lived how he's instructed us to live, and he's told us that we're going to get to be with him in paradise. We're going to get to be with him for all eternity. I don't believe that he's going to make us go through all of that mess. I don't believe that. I believe that the church is going to be caught away, and I'm excited about going. And I want to know right now that I am going to heaven. I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven. I want you to be sure that you're going to heaven. I want you to be sure that your family's going to heaven. You need to make up your mind right now. I'm not going to be in the middle of that persecution because I'm already going to be with Jesus. Praise God. Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." I'm going to escape that mess because I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? At the close of the tribulation, the satanic armies will gather in the Valley of Armageddon to crush all opposition. Seemingly victorious, they will march to Jerusalem to claim their prize. Then Jesus Christ, will physically return to earth with his saints, descending to the Mount of Olives. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. I need somebody to read loud for me. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Who's going to read? I think so. I saw somebody with a microphone. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Somebody read loud for me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sister Christina. Go to verse 11, I'm sorry.
"And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'"
He's going to come down. He's going to come down for you and for me. The Bible says, in like manner. I'm going with him. I said, I'm going to go with him. I'm going to be with him. Praise God. Revelations 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself." Listen. "And he was clothed." He was clothed. Vestures dipped in blood. "His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress, fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Verse 16. "And he hath on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The Jewish nation will recognize him as their Messiah, and he will destroy the beast and his armies. Jesus will establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, and the saints will rule with him. Satan will be bound, but at the end of the age, he will be loose for a short time. He will perform a final rebellion, which God will destroy with fire from heaven. Then will come the last or white throne of judgment. Praise God. Revelations 20 and verse 11. Revelations 20 and verse 11. If you have your Bibles, get them out right now if you haven't got them out yet. Revelations chapter 20 and verse 11. Sister Christina, one more time, all the way to verse 15.
And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Listen to it, the book of life.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All of those not in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. All of those that were not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the horrible, catastrophic thing that you have to grasp a hold of. They are forever separated from God. Eternally separated from God. That's why it's important that me and you, we make up our mind right now, I'm going to heaven. And when life happens, when stuff happens, when people get bitter at you, angry at you, when life doesn't go how it should go, you've got to make up your mind right now before all of that happens. I am going to heaven. My name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got to follow everything that the Word of God, not some of the things, but everything. You and I don't get to choose what we follow. We have to just follow the rule book.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, I don't think that's very important. I don't think that's very important. If it's in the book, do what the book says.
Yeah.
And the reason that we have to make sure that we do what the book says is because God is going to judge us by the book.
Yeah.
What works? Is it going to be I fed the homeless? No. It's going to be the works that we did according to this book right here. He's going to look at us and he's going to judge us according to our work, what we did that lined up with this.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't line up with this, then our name's not going to be in the book.
Right.
And I want to make sure that it lines up with this. Praise God. The Bible describes many signs that will precede Christ's second coming. And they're being fulfilled right now, today. You and I, you can turn on the social media, no doubt. You can turn on TV. You can even not even turn anything on, but you can just begin to look at the news headlines on your phone or in the newspaper. Yesterday, I was in the car dealership waiting on my vehicle, and I just looked at the back. I don't even know what it was all about. I just know that it said LGBTQ on the back of the newspaper. And I just thought in my brain, I said, well, there you go. It's a sign of the times. It's everywhere at all times. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the last of the last days. Hear me when I tell you, I have heard that statement 100,000 times, it seems like.
Yeah.
More so in the month of June, because I would go to camp and it seemed like every evangelist or every preacher that preached would talk about it. And we would all run to the altar and we would cry and pray. And somebody may say, well, they're playing with your emotions. They want you. Well, you know something? I'm glad they did, because you know what it did to me? It put something in me that made me think about heaven. It put something in me that made me think about I don't have it all together. It put something in me that made me conscious that, you know something? If I don't trust in God with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, I am going to utterly fail. Period. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. I've had somebody ask me before, are you overwhelmed about this? I'm not. Because this is what the Bible says. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. I can remember many years ago, Bishop Gilbert would preach about, and he had an app on his phone, talked about the earthquakes. Many years ago. God hasn't come back yet. He's still not here. So does that mean that we grab the proverbial towel and say, none of that's true anyway. I need to live how I want to live. I need to do what I want to do. You know, it's funny to me because people think I don't see and don't notice. But I notice when you're not here. I notice when you don't listen. I notice when you don't respond to the word of God. I notice when you have a blank look on your face the entire time I preach. That just lets me know that there's nothing at all I can do to convince you to get ready to go to heaven. And I want you to understand that's a scary place to be, and that breaks my heart. Because I want you to go to heaven, and I want to go to heaven, and there's nothing I can do to make you to want to go to heaven. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? Every person will face him in judgment. Every person will face Jesus Christ in judgment. I want you to hear this. To receive either their reward of eternal life or the punishment of eternal death. What is the response in a service like this on a Wednesday night? I'm almost 10 minutes over. What is the proper, rather, response in light of what I've talked about tonight? Is it, oh man, that was pretty hard for a Wednesday night? Or is it, you know something? There are some things that I need to get right. I need to make sure that I'm right so my kids will be right. I want to make sure I'm right so my wife will be right. I want to make sure I'm right so my husband will be right. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him heareth say, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. He which thirsteth, come. Surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming quickly? Yes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Brother Noe, do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Sister Delisa, do you believe Jesus Christ is coming quickly? I believe that.
Amen.
Ezra, do you believe that?
Yes,
Brother David, do you believe Jesus is coming quickly? What about you, Sister Jolanta? Brother Ronnie, do you believe Jesus Christ is coming quickly?
Yes, sir.
Brother Joey, do you believe Christ is coming quickly? What about you, Sister Olivia?
I believe it. I'm going to heaven.
Where are you going?
Can I encourage you to talk about it at your dinner table? Can I encourage you to get in the car tonight and talk about it? Don't just drive home mute. Hey, son, did you hear that? Hey, babe, did you hear Pastor talk about heaven? Are we going there? And then consciously do what you need to do. Change what you need to change. Respond how you need to respond, whether it's in this church service for a couple more minutes or do it over the next few days. I want to go to heaven. Amen. I'm thankful for the clapping the hands. I'm thankful for the great singing. I'm thankful for the services we've been having. But what I'm not thankful for is mute faces and no response. People staring off into the oblivion. Going in and out of the service like, oh, I'm just here to check off a box. Nobody thinks I'm doing anything wrong. Come with anticipation that I'm going to heaven. Amen? Would you raise your hands all across the building? In the name of Jesus, Lord, help every single one of us that are in this room. God, myself included. Lord, I want to go to heaven. 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 Lord, I want my brothers and sisters in this room to go to heaven. Every family under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray that there be a revival in their homes of talking about heaven. God, I pray there'd be a revival in their research and in their desire and their study in the Word of God. God, I'm thankful for their jobs. I'm thankful for everything they do. I'm thankful for all their curricular activities they're a part of. But Lord, I'm asking right now that you'd let there be a revival in every home in this place right now. Outside of these four walls, but Lord, let there be a revival in every home that is represented in this building in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be a revival of knowing you and trusting in you and following after you and reading your word and anticipating you. And Lord, let there be a revival in their own worship at home in the name of Jesus Christ. God, cover us in your precious blood that still flows from Calvary. It's alive and it's well, oh Lord. Let there be a faith that rises up. Let there be a faith that rises up in every man, a faith that rises up in every woman. Lord, let them forget all the stuff, oh Lord, that this world has to offer and only focus on, Lord, what you have to offer. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, let your power and your spirit, Lord, be evident. Lord, let it be in demonstration in their homes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, Lord, every lady, cover them in your blood. Every man, cover them in your blood in the name of Jesus. Let every man, Lord, as we walk into Father's Day, Lord, I'm asking you right now, let every man grow a backbone that says, hey, we got to start talking about Jesus. We got to start talking about heaven. We got to start anticipating what God is going to do in this last and closing hour. And we got to be a part of it. We got to get excited about worship. We got to get excited about praising him and honoring him and living for him. In Jesus' name, God, let us walk in the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost be an operational God in our families and in our homes. Lord, let apostolic ministry, Lord, be an operation in our church and in our homes in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I want tongues and interpretation of tongues, Lord, to be evident in every home. Of course, Lord, I want it in the assembly, but God, I want it evident in every home. I want people to be seeking, Lord, after you. And Lord, let them happily find you in Jesus' name as they pray, as they fast, as they worship, as they exalt your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you get excited about serving God? Why don't you get excited about serving him? Get excited about going to heaven. Where are we going? Where are we going? Come on, let's go to heaven together. Praise God. God bless you. Greet somebody. Encourage somebody to be here on Sunday morning for Father's Day as we learn about letting our light so shine.